What's the difference between perseverance of the saints and eternal security? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and you have tuned in to a wonderful episode where we're going to answer questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Now let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. This is Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob.
Well, I've got an interesting question here, Bob, but let me kind of rephrase it. It's from Steve. He's asking about the perseverance of the saints.
All right.
He heard at one of our conferences one of the speakers say that the perseverance of the saints was basically a doctrine that came up in response to Catholics who were criticizing Protestants for living such sinful lives. And they're like, how is that possible? And he's wondering, he heard one of the speakers say, well, the perseverance of the saints was a response to explain that, well, these people aren't real Christians. A real Christian is going to persevere in faith and good works until the end of their life. Well, here's my question. What's the difference between the Calvinist doctrine of perseverance of the saints and what we believe, eternal security, or once saved, always saved?
That's a great question. The difference is really night and day. Our position on what the scriptures teach is Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life, John 6:47. Or he who lives and believes in me shall never die, John 11:26. So that once a person believes in Jesus for his eternal destiny, for everlasting life, he's secure.
Right. So our view is promise-centered. It is all centered in Christ's promise. And how long does it take to believe Jesus' promise for it to stick?
Well, the moment you believe, it sticks.
Right. So you believe him in a second.
Your salvation is final the moment you believe. And the second you believe.
You have it, right?
You got it.
Whoever believes has everlasting life.
And you're secure right then.
You're eternally secure, once saved, always
saved. Whether you persevere or not.
Well, see, now there's the question. Because a lot of people will say eternal security is the same as perseverance of the saints. How is it different?
Well, we would say the moment you believe, you're eternally secure whether you persevere or not. However, Calvinists would say, not all, but most Calvinists would say, the person who is eternally secure is the one who perseveres to the end. And they will say, this is where it really gets messed up, there are two types of believers. There are believers who believe the facts, but they don't have real heart faith, and those people won't persevere to the end, and so they're going to prove they were never born again in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the believers that have heart faith and truly believe, and they will persevere to the end because God will guarantee it. So the way we find out what type of believer that you are is by seeing if you persevere. Or let me bring that to me. The way I find out what type of believer I am is by seeing if I persevere. So therefore, many Calvinists would say you don't know where you're going until you die.
Right.
You may be going to hell forever, because if you don't persevere, that's where you're going to be going, to the lake of fire.
Right.
And so the difference between the Calvinist view of the perseverance of the saints and the biblical teaching on eternal security is that it's introducing works into eternal security.
Maybe I can say this too. I said before that our view is very promise-centered. It's centered on Jesus' promise of everlasting life to the believer. But perseverance of the saints is really tied to a whole predestination scheme, a whole scheme of God electing from all eternity certain people to go to heaven and certain people to go to hell. And we've argued in several places. You argue in a chapter in your book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, and I argue in my book, Chosen to Serve, that biblical election isn't about that at all. Biblical election is about God choosing people, places, and things to serve him for the most part.
Right. And so you are correct that the Calvinist system hangs on election. It hangs on many things, their view of total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the perseverance of the saints.
Right.
And the preservation of the saints. But the preservation of the saints is only for those who persevere. The bottom line on this is...
Well, wait, stop there. So that's an interesting point in itself. That's two P's. that you're distinguishing.
Right.
So there's perseverance of the saints, and there's also preservation of the saints. How are those different?
Well, there was a book called The 5 Points of Calvinism by Steele and Thomas in 1964. And then in 2004, they came out with a second edition, Steele, Thomas, and Quinn, and they expanded it. And when they expanded it and they got to the 5th point, they said in the first edition, we talked about the pea and tulip as the preservation of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
But we should have said there are really 2 parts to the pea. There's the preservation of the saints and the perseverance of the saints, and they're 2 separate things.
Right. So
they said we should probably speak of the 6 points of Calvinism, not 5.
So perseverance is throughout your life, the elect, people whom God has predestined to be saved. Even though they might fall and they might sin occasionally,
right,
they will persevere in faith in Christ and in doing good works. If they ever commit a major sin, they'll come back.
They would say no final apostasy, no
right,
final falling away.
So the true saints persevere in faith
right,
and good works. And then preservation of the saints, what is that? Does that mean more like, God is going to preserve his elect from ever going to hell? Is it
right. The preservation is God's side. The perseverance is man's side.
Our view is sanctification doesn't happen automatically. Sanctification, growing to spiritual maturity, is a command we're supposed to fulfill.
I would say that's also the Calvinist position. I've read lots of Calvinist books where they say the warnings in Scripture are to motivate the elect
right,
to do the good works necessary in order to persevere.
Well, see, I think psychologically for the Calvinist, they see the command and they're like, I need to do my best to meet this command.
Right.
But theoretically, they say, but I know if I do it, it's because of God's monergism. God is working to do this through me. He's causing me to do it.
Well, you might explain monergism.
Well,
that's
God,
a big word.
That God is the only ultimate cause. He's the final cause, ultimate cause of my sanctification.
Yeah, because
so,
mono means one,
so,
and ergism means working.
Right,
so he's the only one that works.
So it's kind of like you see above the door, my work, and you pass through the door and you see, God's work.
People want to over-spiritualize things and say, well, I didn't give the sermon.
Right.
Right. I didn't do this or that. God did it.
Sure.
But the truth is, we all know that we do work, and the Scriptures are very clear. Paul talks about the works that he did.
Yeah.
And Paul says, I won't boast in the works of anyone else. I'm going to boast in my own works.
Sure, right.
And so, it is true, Galatians 2:20, that the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. But it's also true that I live.
Right. Well, coming back to Steve's comment, he's talking about this debate between Protestant Catholics in the day and what to do with believers or Christians who are not living a consistent Christian life. Now, apparently the Protestant or Calvinist answer was to say, well, if you're not living a consistent Christian life, you're probably not really saved. But we'd have a different answer.
Right. The problem was they were caving, it seems to me. Now, I think there was a time when both Luther and Calvin believe that simply by faith in Christ, apart from works, you're born again, and there's no perseverance required, no perseverance guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, because they were constantly being criticized and challenged, and it sounded like they were saying, live any old way you want,
right,
their solution became this perseverance teaching, and you will persevere if you're genuinely born again. And it really was a sort of caving.
Right.
And what I think they should have said is this: yes, it's possible for a believer to fail, and
mm-hmm,
to fail significantly.
Yeah.
A believer might die in unbelief. A believer might die in immorality. But the truth is, that is not what the Scriptures want for any believer, and it's not the normal Christian experience. The normal Christian experience should be that we're serving God and glorifying God and persevering in our faith. But whether we do or whether we don't depends on whether we're in church, whether we're hearing the Word of God taught, and whether we're receptive to the Word.
Right.
Let the Spirit take the Word of God and change our thinking and then transform our lives. Romans 12:2.
So to be clear, we're not saying, by saying that spiritual maturity is kind of up to us and sanctification is up to us to do, we have our part to play. We're not saying that God has a 0% role here. God is working in our life through the Spirit, applying the Word to our minds. And he's using other means, too.
I almost like to think of it like it's 100% God and 100% us.
Right.
I mean, no, it's not, but I almost think of it that way. Some people say we should pray as though it's all up to God,
mm-hmm.
and act like it's all up to us.
Right.
We're praying like, okay, God, you need to do this or it's not going to happen. But then we need to get out there and do what God's told us to do.
Right.
And in the same way, it seems to me in terms of sanctification, we are to take what the Word of God tells us and do it. But we realize the way we do that is not by keeping lists. It's not by being legalistic. It's not by saying, well, I've got to witness to five people by breakfast or something.
Yeah, it's not by having a works-based spirituality that you're focusing on.
Absolutely. We focus on Christ. And as we focus on Christ, we have the victory. And I like to think of it this way, Sean. When you and I hear messages or we give messages, it's kind of like a building block in our worldview.
Mm-hmm.
The more messages we hear, the more our worldview becomes biblical. And the more we think biblically, the more we have what Paul calls in 1 Corinthians 2:16, the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, Romans 12:1, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So as we're in church and we're hearing the Word of God taught by someone who is hopefully a good teacher of God's Word, well, then God's using that to change our worldview.
You know, you just mentioned the word church, and we don't have much time here, but I think that's essential to growing a spiritual maturity, too. It's not a lone ranger thing. It's not just you all by yourself. If you are by yourself, I think it's going to be very difficult for you to grow. You need the body of Christ, right? I mean, that's what Paul says in Ephesians 4, that he's given some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine. We're supposed to grow up from children to grown people, and we need our Christian family to do that.
The same thing is Hebrews 10:23-25. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the habit of the Son, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Christ is returning soon, and we need to be encouraging one another. We need one another in the local church. So you're exactly right. That's a good answer.
So praise Jesus that we are eternally secure the moment we believe in him for eternal life.
Amen.
But also be aware, you need to grow to spiritual maturity, and no one can do that for you except for you.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, you've made it to another Friday. I certainly hope that your weekend is wonderful, and we'll be back with you on Monday with another episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.